Our Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." The book of Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. The Apostle Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said on the day of Pentecost, when the people asked men and brethren, "What shall we do?" Peter quoted from Almighty God and gave the Holy Spirit answer. "Repent," he said, "and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and you'll receive the crown of life." We're dealing with the subject of the world's greatest revival. It's wonderful to see the effects of real, genuine revival. It's wonderful to see what can happen when people turn their hearts and minds over to Almighty God. God planned for this world's greatest revival, and it's described in the second chapter of the book of Acts. The great Pentecost revival changed the world, and salvation is based on the message first preached on that great day of Pentecost. The Joel's prophecy was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and so we deal with the subject of the world's greatest revival. Last week we read in our text from the second chapter of the book of Acts, where the Bible says, beginning with verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered together with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance." It gets more and more exciting as you go on through this wonderful chapter, the second chapter of Acts, dealing with the world's greatest revival. As we think about the world's greatest revival, as we mentioned last week, it had the world's greatest preparation program. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible teaches that in the mind of God, Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. Yes? Bible believers, before the foundation of earth, before the foundation of the world, before the seas ebbed and flowed, before there was a firmament, before there was a heaven and an earth, it was in God's mind for His kingdom church. It was in God's mind to bring salvation through His only begotten Son before the foundation of the world. Listen to these words from Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." And so the kingdom of God is no haphazard thing. It was planned by God before the world began. The church of our Lord Jesus Christ is no haphazard thing, because it was planned by God before the world began. You remember in the 17th chapter of John, Jesus prayed. He prayed in John 17 that God would glorify Him with the glory which He had before the world was. And so the church is not a second thought. The kingdom of God is not a second thought. It was in the mind of God before the world was ever created. And so the world's greatest revival had the world's greatest preparation program. As we look back in the garden, you remember how sin entered in because of the temptation that came from Satan. You remember how that Eve gave in, and later Adam gave in. And you remember how God was talking to the devil, and He told the devil that the seed of the woman would bruise his head. Approximately 4,000 to 5,000 years before Christ, there in the garden, God spoke of what was going to happen through the Messiah. When Satan brought sin into the world, there in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, God faced off the devil and said, "The seed of the woman is going to bruise your head." Oh, He told Satan that he would bruise his heel. Jesus didn't receive a head wound, but a heel wound on the cross. But Satan received a head wound. He was mortally wounded, and he's a wounded creature. And he's seeking whom he may devour, but his judgment is coming. And so 4,000 years approximately before Christ, there's the prophecy about the future coming of Jesus and what he was going to do. 700 to 800 years before Christ, Isaiah prophesied about a virgin conceiving, prophesied about the kingdom, prophesied about the word of God going forth from Jerusalem. Jeremiah prophesied about a new covenant. Malachi prophesied about someone emerging in the spirit of Elijah. Of course, that was John the Baptist. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. John said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so the world's greatest revival had the world's greatest preparation program. As we continue to analyze and study the great Pentecost revival, the world's greatest revival in Acts chapter 2, it not only witnessed the world's greatest preparation program, but as we have been reading, it was held on the world's greatest occasion. God, with his computer mind, could look down through time and select any place, any time, any hour, any millennium, any year, any month, any week, any day, any second. He had it before him, and he picked the day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He picked the day that Jews would be coming from around the world for the feast of first fruits. God was going to make this another feast of first fruits, the first fruits of the gospel, the first fruits of the kingdom, the first fruits of individuals being saved through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the world's greatest revival was held on the world's greatest occasion. Pentecost was a glorious time. People came from around the world to that beautiful city of Jerusalem. I understand that the old-timers, as they crested the hill looking at Jerusalem, they would sing the Psalms of David with tears rolling down their cheeks as the little children played alongside the caravans. But as they entered the city, God had something special in mind that day. It was going to be D-Day. It was going to be the day spoken of by Joel the prophet. The last days, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit will be poured out, and these constitute the beginning of the last days. That in itself runs contrary to much theology in the world today, but the world's been living in the biblical last days ever since Pentecost. The world's been living in the biblical last days ever since the church was founded nearly 2,000 years ago. And so Pentecost was on. The day was fully come. The disciples and the brethren were together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Exciting, exciting, ladies and gentlemen, to witness what God did as this world's greatest revival was having its beginning. And so the world's greatest revival had the world's greatest preparation program, and it also was held on the world's greatest occasion. Now thirdly, the world's greatest revival witnessed the preaching of the world's greatest preachers. The preachers that preached on Pentecost were not compromising, middle-of-the-road liberal preachers. The preachers that preach on Pentecost were not frilly-laced mama's boys. The preachers that preached on Pentecost had courage and stamina to stand up and preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The preachers that preached on Pentecost weren't preaching for the money. They weren't preaching for the prestige. They weren't preaching for the glory. They were preaching simply to please God and conform to God's plan and obey God in what God had told them and taught them to preach. And so those apostles represented the world's greatest preachers, straight-shooting, non-compromising Bible preachers, preachers that believed in preaching it heaven high, hell deep, worldwide, and shotgun barrel straight. And they all went to their deaths, except the Apostle John died what's called the Red Death, a lingering life of suffering, but the rest of the apostles later scattered around the world, gave their lives for Christ. My, what great preachers these apostles were. Would to God that the world would be given millions of straight-shooting preachers like the apostles, instead of opportunists, preachers that would preach the truth. Instead of preaching for money and prestige, preach the truth. Instead of preaching Protestantism, Romanism, denominationalism, and every other ism under the heavens, simply preach Christianity. Back to the Bible, back to Calvary, back to Christ. No creed but Christ, and no book but the Bible. We must speak where the Scripture speaks, and be silent where the Scripture is silent. We must have a thus saith the Lord for all that we believe and practice. We must wear no name but the divine. We must have no headquarters but heaven. We must go back beyond Geneva, whence came Calvinism. We must go back beyond England, whence came the Wesleys. back beyond Rome, which came Romanism, all the way back to the Bible, where they simply took the Bible only and were Christians only. My, what a great day this great day of Pentecost was. It was the day of the beginning of the world's greatest revival. The day that was planned by God, and the day that witnessed the preaching of the world's greatest preachers. I'm reminded of the first chapter of the book of Acts. They were there on Mount Olive, and Jesus was there, and the disciples said, "Will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put within His own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And after this, the apostles witnessed the glorious ascension of Jesus with the promise of His return. But the Bible teaches, as Jesus was speaking to them, that they would be witnesses after they received the power. They were to wait for the power. And on Pentecost, the kickoff day for the world's greatest revival, the power came. The power came upon the apostles. They spoke miraculously in other languages. People heard in their own native tongue the wonderful works of God, and those apostles lined up and committed themselves to preaching the truth. Yes, the day of the world's greatest revival witnessed the preaching of the world's greatest preachers. Then on the day of the world's greatest revival, the people present witnessed the world's greatest message. The message was a basic message consisting of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The sum total of the Pentecost message was not pious platitudes. It wasn't denominationalism, Protestantism, Romanism. The faithful message of the apostles on Pentecost, as they preached the world's greatest message, it was the message that Jesus had come into the world, that He died for the sins of the world, and that He is coming again. It's the message that Jesus came and death was not able to hold Him. It was the message that He arose from the grave and is at the right hand of the Father. And so the message of the apostles was the world's greatest message. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, the message of the apostles is the world's only message. That is the only message of salvation. There's not salvation in the religion of your choice or the faith of your choice. There's only religion in Jesus Christ. There's only religion and faith and salvation in the Son of God. There's only hope in the Messiah. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so I'm thankful for this world's greatest revival, that it was planned by God and had the world's greatest preparation program. I'm thankful for the great Pentecost revival that electrified and changed the world. It was held on the world's greatest occasion, witnessed the preaching of the world's greatest preachers who preached the world's greatest message. And as we come to invitation time, we want to invite you back next week where we will go on and finish this message on the world's greatest revival. But the question is, are you a Christian? To be saved, you must hear the gospel of Jesus and believe it, and repent of your sins and confess your faith in Christ, and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and arise to walk in a newness of life. The churches of Christ salute you. Tune in next week. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching the message. And we pray that the message of truth will be received with meekness and souls will be saved. Have mercy on us, Father, and help people to open their minds and hearts to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.